welcome back to Call Me Negotiator, and we are on air every Thursday 4 to 5 p.m. And today we have our guest. And I have to say that I wanted to talk to him for a long time, and finally we got the chance. I will let him to talk about his life, his work, and what he finds meaningful, why he decided to be dedicated into this area. Hi, Pablo.
That's right. Hi. Nice to be here.
Yeah. Well, like, it was really nice, but like, I wanted to get started with the time that I met you. I feel like every time I met you, almost you were outside planning something.
Correct. Yes, we always cross our paths where I'm moving in from the garden or just howling vegetables. We are quite neighbors, so we see each other on Thursdays, quite busy, because that's at the garden as well. We are quite busy that day.
Yeah, so that I really appreciate that you make time to join us. Well, like, our show is really cross-cultural, which, as you see, we're on air in Vancouver, Canada, but as at the same time, we're live streaming to Chinese platform, and our Chinese audiences are all over the place, like, all over the world, let's say. A lot of them are in China. Some of them are in North America, like California, New York. Some of them are in Richmond here. Sometimes I met people one or two of them, and I was like, I realized those Chinese audiences are not just in China, right? And I think some people they might listening or watching us in Australia or New Zealand, and then I know those places, they are big at planting and this nature thing. So I have to be careful because I lack of knowledge in this field. So could you share a little bit about your story? Because I know people are from everywhere, and then they decided to live in Vancouver. And what about you? Where did you start your journey, and why you choose to stay here and do what you do?
Yeah, so just put a bit of context. I am the garden manager here at Embark Sustainability. Embark Sustainability is a nonprofit organization based in Simon Fraser University, and we have learning gardens.
Right.
So I'm the responsible to keep those gardens producing, keep those gardens safe for visitors. So my journey started around 2015 when I joined Embark Sustainability. But before that, I did my secondary school and in an agricultural school, and later I did my undergraduate in a university in agriculture, so I have a background in agriculture. So growing food has been all my life, going from secondary school, university, and postgraduate studies as well, in growing food and finding the land and spaces where agriculture can be grown in extensively. Here in Vancouver, I arrived in 2007, and took time to settle down, to find a job, and surprisingly, I joined Embark in 2014 and 2015, and continue applying the knowledge and rather than doing extensive agriculture. Suddenly I moved into urban agriculture, growing vegetables and food in a highly dense populated spaces like is Vancouver and Burnaby, and in a space like a campus where it's all buildings. So that's how is my journey has been, what I have been doing over the last 11 years.
Oh, you've been doing this for 11 years. That's really a long time.
It is.
I wonder, were you in Canada before? Where did you born?
Oh, yeah. So I'm originally from Ecuador.
Ecuador?
Yeah, Ecuador. South America.
Okay. Yeah, wow.
Over there, I did my undergraduate studies. And graduating as an agronomist. And later I had the opportunity to go and study in Europe. Mm-hmm. So I did a master's degree in soil science in Belgium and a master's degree in landscape ecology and garden management in the United Kingdom. Wow. And later I did my PhD studies in London, King's College London. So, yeah.
That's so not just surprising, it's very impressive, because I've never had any guest or anybody that I remember in my life that from Ecuador. So I got excited, very excited when the moment that you said Ecuador, because I was like, is that the Ecuador in South America?
Correct. Yeah.
And however, you are not just somebody who is staying in America, you went to Europe, you're pretty much like the global citizen, or had that experience.
Yes, I had experience to be a global citizen. So during my research in my postgraduate research, so I had the opportunity to live in Finland for 4 years.
Oh, no way.
So, and then, yeah, Canada was a call later. As I say, I had the opportunity to live in different countries, and we settled roots here in Canada, in Vancouver mainly, because of the weather.
Oh, because of the weather?
Yes. After 4 years living in Helsinki, when you have temperatures of minus 35 during the winter,
right,
you want to appreciate a warmer temperature.
Okay.
And Vancouver offers that.
Yeah, but Vancouver is probably the only city in Canada that's not under like 30 degrees under zero, right? Like, I've never lived to somewhere like super cold. Yeah. So I don't even know how to describe that kind of weather or temperature.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any place that in Finland that they like Vancouver that like a little bit warm?
No, I don't think so.
Oh.
Yeah. It can get warm, yes. They have a lovely summer starting in May and June and July.
Mm.
They also will have a good gardening season, but not as warm here. Here in Vancouver, we are very lucky because the whole Pacific Northwest has a very, is a temperate rainforest.
Mm-hmm.
We have the sea influences the weather patterns in the continent. So, yeah, we have lots of rain, but mild temperatures.
Oh, interesting.
Which is great for growing food. So that is a place to come and grow food. Here in Vancouver, we encouraged our gardeners to grow vegetables year-round.
Okay. So I've never been to Ecuador or any place in South and America, I think. So I assume the weather there is very hot. Like
that's a good assumption. However, it's not the case.
Oh, okay. So it's still cold. It could be cold.
So yeah, in Ecuador we have three geographical regions.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the coast close to the Pacific Ocean, which we have a temperature around 30 degrees during the day, 20 degrees at night. And then we have the Andes, which goes from sea level up to 3,000 meters above sea level.
Oh.
So, yes, so at 3,000 meters above sea level, you have a temperature of 10 degrees at night, sometimes 0 degrees. And during the day, we can get temperatures of 25 degrees. In the highlands, we have a temperature, let's say, 4 seasons in a day.
Mm.
So you start in the morning at 0 degrees at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
By lunchtime, you are at 25 degrees.
Oh,
and I by see. 6 o'clock at night, you again turning 10 degrees. And by 10 o'clock at night, you are 0 degrees again.
Oh.
So you have.
You have 4 seasons
in one day.
Okay, maybe people should just go to Ecuador and to experience that.
Yeah, you should. You should visit it, particularly because what we are seeing is we are familiar with the 4 seasons,
right.
Latitudinally, going from the Ecuador up to the North Pole or to the South Pole.
Mm-hmm.
But in Ecuador itself, we go from sea level up to the sky. So it's vertical. How we move the weather. So, yeah, and then as well, we have the Amazon base, part of the Amazon basin, which we have tropical rainforest.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, temperatures around 20 degrees, humidity high, 100% humidity.
Right.
As part of the biodiversity. So that's... It's quite, completely different.
Yeah, that's quite a knowledge to me, to be honest, because I always feel like South America must be hot or warm at least the whole time. But like before we jump into what you're doing, because I know Embark Sustainability, this organization is a campus-based but nonprofit organization. Mm-hmm. So it's doing meaningful things, and the whole earth is getting warmer and warmer, so we do need organizations and people like you. But before we jump into that, I have to talk about your global multicultural experience.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So you moved to Europe and then you adopt your probably master's and later PhDs in the UK, in Belgium, in Finland. You lived there at least. And the whole time, how did you pave your way to eventually like your destiny right now and right here? Because I wanted our audiences and fans to really understand that the possibilities of those lifestyle that we can choose, right?
Yeah.
So it's not a magical. It's not like, oh my God, it's super difficult. It's probably challenging, but mm-hmm. we can, you know, like continue our path, but experience different things, pick up insights from our life experiences, and eventually we can choose where we want to live with intention.
Oh, that's okay. With intention. Well,
yes.
I will say that my life path hasn't been thought or it was no intention at the beginning.
Not linear.
Happens that it was after finishing university, I was working with an organization,
mm-hmm.
Managing soil and water management. We had lots of support from Belgian universities.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I was able to get a scholarship to go to studying in Belgium.
Okay.
So that's how the path came through scholarships.
Sorry, did you get the scholarship before you go to Belgium?
Yes.
So you applied it when you were...
When I was working, yeah.
Working in Ecuador.
In Ecuador, yeah.
Okay.
So that is the path, how I...
You got the opportunity.
Good opportunity. Now, once I applied and then I got the opportunity, there comes the challenge, shall I accept? You know, is it... Never been abroad in a different country.
Yeah.
And once you arrive to Belgium, you have changed in 24 hours, you have changed all your, what you knew, your language, you mm-hmm. no more speaking Spanish, you go to English.
Yeah.
Food, the food's completely different, which you are not used to.
Mm.
Cultural.
Mm.
You have a different culture,
right.
Different to ours. So yeah, it's a period of settling, I will say at least 6 months. The first 3 months is a honeymoon, new place, new food,
right.
New environment. But after that, it's like, oh, what I'm doing here? and then it's what we call the cultural shock. So after the 6 months, you're like, okay, I can handle that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but after having that experience in Belgium, I went back to Ecuador to continue working with the organization who helped me to get the scholarship. And then I had the opportunity to apply for another scholarship to go to study in the UK.
Mm.
So as my first objective to go to Belgium was to learn a bit about soils.
Mm.
What are the best soils or the characteristics for a soil in order to grow food?
Mm.
And during that process came like, no, every land or soils are suitable for growing food.
Oh, okay.
Okay? So you have those areas where are not suitable for growing food, and so the question came, what we could do with that land?
Mm.
And then is when I got in contact with this a university in London, in the UK, where it was an agricultural college that teach about landscape ecology, restoration,
right,
and gardening. So if we cannot grow food in this land, we at least can try to restore the ecology. And so I was very much into a landscape restoration. And that's how part of that. In the UK, of course, there is beautiful formal gardens. And they just combine these two. And then, yeah, so that's, and during that time, of course, you've been abroad for quite a while. You've been learning new cultures. You get to know people. And suddenly, yeah, you are married.
That's very sad.
Yeah, and then you are forming a family. And suddenly, as a family, then we have opportunities to go to other places. Yeah. And again, it's like having the courage to say, the opportunity presents, and then you have the courage to say, yes, I'm taking that.
I see.
And taking the opportunity. That's how we moved as a family to Finland. Mm-hmm. And later, we, as a family, we moved to Vancouver.
I see. Well, like, that's a quite journey. I would say, like, I caught a few points. The first is that you were in Ecuador, and you were able to get resources and opportunities, right? So, because I heard a lot of people saying that, I don't have money, so I cannot study abroad. My English is not good, so I have to wait for my English skills to get really good, which never really happened on a lot of people. When they talk to me, right, I do not, like, you know, investigate or whatever. But that, like, they talk to me, they say it in public because they do want to improve and find strategies, but it just somehow took them 5 years, 10 years, and never really moved forward with this.
Yeah.
So my own experience is also, like, it's pretty much the same, but it's just different destinies, different countries, is that I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready at all when I got some opportunities, but I feel like I was preparing myself for some other opportunities that serve for the same purpose, right? It's like I wanted to explore the world. So maybe I'm a student. The only thing that I know was to become an international student.
Yeah.
So I was studying my English, but my English was also improved really, really slowly. However, when there's another opportunity that can serve some, because your attention is on this direction, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like for you, you were in Ecuador, and then you were probably looking for this kind of opportunity. That's why you find it.
Yes, absolutely. You are have that little interest, and when you find it, you apply for it, and you hope to get it. And when you get it, you are like, should I take now the opportunity?
Yeah,
but just take the opportunity, because, as I always say, the door opens only once.
That's it. I also feel it because I do have, like, that reminds me, one of my friends, and she had opportunities to go to somewhere, I think it was America, to continue her study with some scholarship, but then it wasn't very smooth, so eventually she didn't go. And I think her lifestyle, of course, she could choose to keep searching, and at one point it will come, but then later on her life path changed to a different direction, which might be a good thing to do as well, but she did complain about what currently she had. So I felt like when we had the opportunity that we always wanted to go with that kind of purpose, we take it, because the opportunity or the specific things that's happening are normally out of our plan. It's not like what exactly our mind.
Yes. As you say, your English never will be up to standards or what is needed.
Yeah.
But once you arrive to the place, you have to do your best in order to improve it. And the more you talk, the more you meet people. It improves almost every day. And so there is challenge. There are challenges.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we overcome it.
Right. Okay. I wanted to continue this, but after a bird note, we're going to hear. So that's also like part of the nature, by the way. And then we will continue and talk about how do we find our purpose, continue the path when the opportunities are very unexpected, and how we make a decision and with good judgment of if we're going to take it or not. Right.
Right.
Thank you.
Spanish World.
Hello, welcome back to Comedy Negotiator, and we're talking to Pablo. So he is working at Embark Sustainability, but then his experiences was so multicultural and globalized. And we were talking about how we find our purpose when we didn't have the clear idea at the early stage of life, but then when there are some kind of resources coming after we're searching and exploring, and then there's some kind of opportunities, and the opportunities normally come as like a job or work tasks or some hard work that you need to do. So often we didn't realize that was the opportunity that kind of can serve our purpose, right? So often we see people either caught it or give up on it. And then that really could change our life decisions, right? And so Pablo, could you share a little bit about how did you find, or what the pathways or tunnels for us to look for the potential resources that can support us to find potential opportunities and eventually guide us to the life path that we are supposed to go or we wanted to?
Yeah, so in my case, I will say I had a background in growing in agriculture. Mm-hmm. I literally had a background in environmental science. And I was trying to find my job in environmental science. You know, Canada is very well known for the beautiful landscapes, mm-hmm. conservation, mining industries, lots of environmental work. Mm-hmm. But it was taking a little longer to try to settle to find a job. And then when this opportunity with Embark came, I was like, I got all these skills in here. And why not to use? Of course, it's not my latest skill, mm-hmm. but it's one of my skills. So it's like just a step back and look what skills I have, mm-hmm. and use them. That's why I started as a use my skills in agriculture, and that's how it got into applied to the job here in Embark Sustainability, and I got the job. Mm-hmm. And since then, I started growing food, and after a few years you realize like, yeah, I like doing this.
After a few years,
yes, it takes a little while, because you know, you arrive, you have your degrees, you have done your studies, and you want to do a work that you have for what you've been studying for. You know, so you do your postgraduate studies, say I want to find a job in this field,
right?
But the opportunity doesn't show up, but our opportunity with requiring a skill that you have, and perhaps you don't consider as important as the latest skill. So I think we should remind ourselves that we have a set of skills that we use as stepping stones from moving from one to another to another. And suddenly you say, I want my job to be the last step that I have it. But the opportunity is one of your first steps, your first skills. So that takes a bit of time to process and for you internally say, yes, I can use that skill. And I went through that process. I say, okay, I cannot get a job in environmental science, which I would love to, but I have a job in agriculture, growing food, which is one of my skills. After accepting that, you start working. Suddenly you find like, this is rewarding.
Yeah.
This is rewarding because is, as I say, we have a learning garden here in campus. And we are as well teaching students how to grow food. So there is a bit of education in there.
A lot of
motivating people how to grow food,
right.
How to not just take gardening as a hobby, which is not a hobby. It requires time and commitment.
Right.
And then you realize like, it's one of my skills, but I still don't have all the knowledge.
Right.
You know, it's like, I have some gaps in my knowledge. And then you start developing a bit more. So you still continue growing your knowledge, you continue developing new skills.
Right.
You know, it's like, I had my skills in, I know how to grow food.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, how to teach people how to grow food.
That's a different ability.
Ability.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I felt like you mentioned two very important points that I do wanted to kind of emphasize.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is how to find opportunities, right? And realize that's the opportunity, because sometimes it doesn't show up as the ideal specific things that we created in our mind, right? For example, I saw some of our audiences would be like, let's say agricultural. Let's say if you study agriculture in China, a lot of people, they grow up in the farmland, in the countryside. They went to university, they will be like, if I study agriculture, do I go back to become a farmer, just become where I was and become who I was and go back to where I was, where I am? And then I would be like, I don't see the point. However, your journey told them that this is just the ability. This, by the way, like, it's just one ability, the studying ability, the environment, the peers that you meet, and also the creativity, the exploring abilities that you find to get more resources to get you to a different platform. It's so different than when you learn agricultural by doing it when you from your hands-on experiences when you were, let's say, in the farmland, right? So I feel like that is very important, because this got you to live in different part of the world, in all those developed country with the most advanced skills and also knowledge, right?
Mm-hmm.
And also allows you to be able to choose where you wanted to live, because Vancouver is an amazing place. And so that is really beyond of this specific skills or task offered from a job or a major from university, right?
Mm-hmm.
But of course, people can be really